to be praying about some things that we're talking about, the leadership, the pastors and other deacons and people. You may have seen in the back fellowship room, we've had to redo the room. It was getting pretty old and tired. So if you haven't taken a look in the back fellowship hall at the very end of the courtyard, it's been recarpeted and repainted and looks really sharp. And we got to thinking that we'd like to do some of the same kind of work around the rest of the church. That is, sprucing up our church and modernizing it and freshening it up. So just pray, that, you know, God, what would you have us to do? And how much of a thorough redoing should we do? So if you can imagine and picture in your mind what it could look like, see the back room for some idea, and then picture the rest of the place getting a bit of a lift. Ignore the smell. The carpet really still smells badly. So we might have to put up with bad carpet smell for a little while, but it could be very worth it. All right? All right. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that very much. Now, I want to take time this morning to speak to all of us on the subject of womanhood. All right? I told someone yesterday that, you know, when it comes to womanhood, I'm an expert on this topic. My wife laughed at me. But I do believe the Bible has some things to say on womanhood. And so I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm just here to tell you this is what the Bible has to say about womanhood. My aim is to motivate all of our ladies, young and old, married and single, to embrace womanhood as your highest calling. Be strong, be godly women. And by godly, I'm not talking about mousy or wimpy women. I didn't marry a mousy woman. If you know Jennifer, she's not mousy. We haven't been raising our young ladies, Gretchen and Jenna, to be a mousy women. We want them to be strong, but godly women, embracing womanhood as God has made it and as God made them. And that's what I want for you this morning, today as well. Let's pray and commit this time to our Lord, okay? Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, our eyes to your word and what it has to say about godly biblical womanhood. Lord, I thank you for the ladies that are here with us. And Lord, may us men have a greater appreciation of this, of ladies and women that you created for specific reasons, specific purpose, in your image as well. May we honor them, may we love them, may we respect them. May we embrace their womanhood as well, as we must embrace our manhood and how you made us to be men and godly men. Father, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Young lady by the name of Marie Durant. In the 17th century, she was 14 years old. She was a French Christian who was put into prison for being Protestant, and she was told that she would be released if she just said one phrase, "I abjure," or recant. While in her cell wall, she wrote on the wall, "Resist." Resist. And she stayed there in that cell for 38 years until she finally passed away. Not wimpy. Not a wimpy lady. Another lady by the name of Gladys Staines. She was a missionary with her husband. They were from Australia and they went to India. They served over 3 decades. She served with her husband and 3 children. Her husband and 2 sons one day were burnt alive by a mob of those they were trying to serve. Gladys had said, "I am not bitter, neither am I angry. Let us burn hatred and spread the flame of Christ's love." She and her remaining daughter continued to serve. Not a wimpy lady. Even the 13-year-old daughter said, "I praise the Lord that he found my father worthy to die for him." There was another lady by the name of Johnny Erickson Tada. Have you heard that name? She spent the last 41 years as a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. And she prays. Her prayer is, "Oh, thank you for this wheelchair. By tasting hell in this life, I've been driven to think seriously about what faces me in the next. This paralysis is my greatest mercy." She speaks and shares Christ all over the world. Not a wimpy woman. There's another woman closer to home that I admire. Her name is Lisa Fenton. She's the wife of a church planter here in New Zealand in Hastings, I believe. It is Hastings. A number of years ago, not too long ago, she was diagnosed. She had breast cancer. She had to have a full mastectomy. And during this time, she drew her strength from the Lord. She ended up even writing a book called My Greatest Gift. Recently, Lisa has found that it has returned. Pray for Lisa, but she's still serving the Lord. She's still giving thanks to the Lord. Not a wimpy woman. Not a wimpy woman. So this morning, I want you to have a good theology of womanhood. A strong theology will lead to a strong woman. A weak theology is going to lead to a weak womanhood. So have a strong understanding and theology of womanhood. Let me share with you a few simple points. Now, there's so much written in the Word, and it's hard to reduce sometimes to one particular day. But we're going to just take a look at a few important main points. And the first is this, the meaning of true womanhood. Basically, God's ultimate purpose for the whole universe and all history is for your life, listen, is for your life to display the glory of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the simple version. God's purpose for history, God's purpose for you, God's purpose for the universe is that your life would display the glory of Jesus Christ. In particular, that your life would display and demonstrate his dying to make a rebellious people his beautiful, glorious bride. His dying on the cross, his greatest display of his glory is his going to the cross and dying to lay down his life for his rebellious bride. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it tells us that all who dwell on the earth will worship him. And by the way, this him here is referring to the beast. Okay? It's not referring to Jesus Christ. So this is at the end times. After the rapture has taken place and the Antichrist comes and people receive the mark of the beast. And it says here that those who dwell on the earth at this time will worship him. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now pay attention. This is referencing those who remain here, who remain after what we call the rapture, and they will worship the beast. But I want you to see the reference to the Lamb who was slain. And notice it says the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Go back to the very beginning, as God was preparing to do his great act of creation. And the Bible says this was in God's mind at that time, that the Lamb would be slain to save his bride, that the bridegroom would lay his life down to ransom and to rescue his rebellious bride. So God had a plan in which himself, Christ, was already slain before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of this universe. Why? Simply because his glory shines brightly in doing this. To show his magnificence and his glory. Your life exists to bring God glory. Because he died to save a rebellious person such as you and me, it demonstrates his glory all the more magnificently. There's a song that we like to sing occasionally, and it's "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And the first verse goes, "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure." Who is that wretch? That's me. That's you. How deep the Father's love. How glorious. How magnificent. How amazing. Your life exists to bring him greatest glory. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he has made us accepted in the beloved." I want you to notice there's a lot of stuff in here, but he had a plan to adopt us as sons, to rescue us, to save us from sin. And why did he have this plan? Why did he go through with all this? That was from the very beginning. That was in his mind that Christ would be on the cross at the very beginning. Why? It says in verse 6, "to the praise and glory of his grace." That's it. To the praise and glory of the grace of God, of Jesus Christ. Your life exists to bring him glory and praise. So the beginning of understanding true womanhood is to understand the meaning of even true manhood as well as true womanhood. And that is that your life exists to bring glory to God. But from here, let's go on. And that brings us to the next point. Womanhood was not an afterthought. Okay, this is important too. Ladies, you were not an afterthought. Isn't that a good idea? I mean, isn't that a good point? Aren't you thankful for that? You're not an afterthought. First, I want you to know that you, whether you're male or female, were not an afterthought. God made you, and he had a reason and a purpose for making you. It's not like God was creating, and he thought after making the animals, he was going to try to make something new, so he created man. He created Adam. And this went on for a while until God realized, he started looking around and he started realizing, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. I think I messed up here. I better try something else. I think I'll make another one similar but different. I'll make a woman. No. God had a plan at the very beginning, and this plan involved womanhood and femininity as well. It involved it. Ephesians 5 gives us some insight into why God created Eve following the making of the man, Adam. Take a look at Ephesians 5 in verse 25. A familiar passage, but let's pay attention to some points here. Ephesians 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Now, we know this passage. Have you heard this before? Yes? Okay. We know this passage. It's not a new passage, and it's often used, and not incorrectly so, but it's often used as a passage for husbands and wives and their relationships with each other. And we can use it as such. But this passage reveals who it is really about. It's really about Jesus Christ and his wonderful bride, the church. That's what it's about. God made the woman to display the glory of Jesus and what he has done for us. When God made the woman in the garden, he made her for this purpose of displaying the glory of Jesus Christ. We see in verse 27 of Genesis 1, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right, so who's created in God's image? Is it the man or the woman? What? Okay, both. I thought I heard someone say the man. Both. Very clearly, God made them in his image. Now, sometimes we think that God made us this way. In his image, God made male, God made female. He made the institution of marriage. He put them together and said, this is a good thing. And then later on, when Jesus Christ came, he looked around for some kind of picture to picture what Jesus had done for us. And he says, you know, marriage is kind of like that. Yeah. I'll compare it to marriage. No, that's not the way it worked. God didn't just find manhood and womanhood a helpful comparison. He made us this way precisely so that he could display the glory of his Son and what he was to do. He made us, remember, from the very beginning, from the very foundation of creation, God had the cross on his mind. He knew that Jesus Christ would have to come and rescue his bride. And at that time, when he was making creation, he said, I am going to make this picture right here, the man and the woman coming together in the bond of marriage, the husband, the wife, the male, the female, and they're going to bring glory to my Son in doing this. Our sexuality as men and women is designed to glorify the Son of God. That's what it's designed to do. That's why God made us. Is it sometimes distorted? Absolutely, because sin distorts. And we take a look at how it's been distorted in our world with the lack of the sanctity of marriage. And it's a distortion of what God had in mind. But God still made the man and the woman for life together, male, female, masculine, feminine, for this purpose. To make it more clear in Ephesians, back to the Ephesians passage when Paul is talking about husbands and wives, and he says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He makes it even more clear in verse 31. He says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He's talking about the union of marriage, the union of a man and woman, a husband and wife, and the way he made it, the way it's designed, the way it was intended to be. But then he states in the next sentence, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's like, this is a wonderful thing, but what it's really all about is about Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. That's what it's a reflection of. That's what it's a picture of. A dim reflection, a dim picture, but it is to be a reflection of Jesus and the church. And ladies, you're a part of that reflection. You are. Without it, the picture would not be complete. But God made it this way for this purpose. He's not really speaking of husband and wife, but something else. And from the beginning, manhood and womanhood were designed specifically to display the glory of Christ in relationship to his bride, the church. Jesus Christ loved the church. He gave himself for her. Husbands, that's the example that we follow. Love your wives this way. Love your wives this way. It's not the other way around where husbands love their wives and, oh yeah, it's kind of like what Jesus did, isn't it? No. Thirdly, I want to, the next 2 points, I want to first say a word to those who are married, and then a word to those who are single. Because in this place, I know we have some married women, and we have plenty of single women too. And both of you have a design to display the glory of Christ in your life. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The point here is that marriage is meant to display the covenant-keeping love between a husband and a wife. That's what it's meant. The way this does that is by men being men and women being women in marriage. By men taking their position and their role in the marriage and women taking and appreciating their position and their role in the marriage as well. And this displays this relationship that Paul is referring to here in Ephesians 5. This is no more interchangeable than Christ is interchangeable with the church. Christ is the bridegroom, and we, his people, are the bride. And that is not interchangeable. Men are to take their cues from Christ, who is the head of the church. He is the one that we look to, and he's our example. As husbands, he's our example. And women take theirs from the church. This is described here in two terms as you take a look at these passages. The first term is headship. The second term is submission. Headship and submission. Again, as you take a look, verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. So we have these two terms, headship and submission. Now, what is headship? The headship is simply the calling of the husband to take primary responsibility for Christ-like leadership in the home, for the protection, for the provision in the home. Just as Christ was the head of the church, he loved her, he cared for her, he took care of her, he provided her needs, he died for her. And that's our model. And a man who takes this as his model, and this is his understanding of headship in the home, that's a great husband. That is the ideal husband. That is a husband that is demonstrating and bringing glory to God because he models what Christ has done for the church. Submission, on the other hand, is the calling of the wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through with her gifts and her strengths. And the two working together, as both are submitted and yielded to the Lord, as both are submitted and yielded to Christ, that is a beautiful marriage in harmony with each other, without conflict, without stress. Now, I know that this leaves a lot of unanswered questions. It has to. What about unbelieving husbands or unbelieving wives or husbands that will not take their role as leaders in the family seriously? And there's many other things. But women, married women, all I'm asking is that you first embrace the truth that your womanhood is unique and created by God to display the glory of His Son in your relationship to your husband. That's what it's for. That's what it's about. God designed it. God set it up. That's what it's for. How about those who are not married? I'd like to have a brief word to the singles now at this time. We are shown in scriptures how the Apostle Paul loved his singleness. When Paul was writing, he shared that he too was single, and he even encouraged others to consider singleness as well as a great means to serving the Lord. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, "But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord." And he was contrasting this with someone who is married. A married man would have other cares and focuses, and rightly so, how to take care of his family, how to provide for his family. But he was saying a single man, his focus can be on the Lord, not so much on other things. And so he encouraged others, if possible, if God gives you the grace and the gifting, remain single as I am and put your focus on serving the Lord. But Christ can be glorified even in your singleness. And let me give you a couple of examples of how he is glorified in your singleness. First of all, in your singleness, one acknowledges that the family of God doesn't just grow by natural physical means, but by a regeneration through faith in Christ. That's the family of God. If as a single you spend your life reaching out and share Jesus with others around you without self-pity about it, because Christ meets your needs, and you desire to expand the family of God in this way, Christ can be glorified in you. But we also see in being single, one acknowledges marriage as a temporary thing and gives way to the relationship it was pointing to all along, Jesus Christ and the church. Marriage is temporary. It's a wonderful thing. It's a God-ordained thing. And it's a necessary thing for us as humans. But it's also a temporary thing we see. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 22, and he reminds people, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Now, first of all, this is not saying in heaven we're all angels and we have wings and things. Misconception. But just as the angels don't marry and intermarry and have children together, in heaven, the Bible says that there's neither marriage nor giving in marriage, because we have a different, complete relationship in heaven. And our marriage is to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and we have this far greater, more intimate relationship than we could ever know in a relationship here on earth with one another, as well as with our Savior and Lord and the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And so godly single womanhood is a testimony that Christ is the better husband than any man could be, and that in the end he will be the only husband. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that true womanhood can flourish in both singleness or in married life. God can bless and use both to display his glory, which is the purpose of why he made us man, why he made us a woman. So I commend this truth to you, that the ultimate purpose of God throughout history is to display the glory of his Son by dying for his bride. That's where it all centers. That's where everything revolves around. God created man as male and masculine. God created female and femininity, because these are both aspects of Christ's glory, which would not be known uniquely and specially if they were not reflected in the complementary differences between the husband and the wife. True womanhood is a distinct calling to display the glory of his Son that would not be possible without it. A married woman has a unique potential to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Single womanhood also has a unique potential to bring glory to Jesus Christ. So whether married, whether single, use the gifts that God has given to display the glory of his Son. Would you stand with me, please? Every head bowed and eye closed for a few moments. I have been speaking, of course, in particular to women, but I hope you can see the application is there for all of us. God made you to display the glory of Jesus Christ. Men, women, young men, young women, God made you for that purpose. Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, that laid his life down for his rebellious bride. We, outside of him, are in rebellion against him. In our sin, we were enemies of God. But in God's great mercy, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. Have you received his free offer, his free gift of salvation? Can you say without a doubt this morning, Pastor Ken, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ died for me, and I have received his forgiveness through it. Is that your testimony? Raise your hand if that's your testimony. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that salvation. I praise the Lord for saving me. Is there anybody here who maybe can't say that? They're not sure. I ask you to raise your hand. Just pray for me. I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if I've ever received that salvation. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Pray for me, Pastor Ken. All right. I'm just going to give us a few moments of quiet time, and I'd like you to just take this time to pray, to worship the Lord, to thank him for making you a woman or a man to display the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank him for it and embrace it by faith. That God, I want to be that godly woman that you made me to be for his glory. God, I want to be that godly man that you made me to be to display his glory in me. Just a few moments. Lord, I just want to say thank you for your design that you had from the very beginning. As your word reminds us that this was in your mind from even the foundation of this world, the foundation of our universe, that the Lamb would be slain. And so as you made man, as you made woman, and later you said, it's a great mystery, but I'm speaking of Christ and the church. We see that this relationship, this unique union that we have as people is for a purpose. And it was to display, to show the glory of Jesus Christ, how he gave his life, how he laid down his life for his rebellious bride, the church. So, Father, I pray that whether we're men or women in this place, or whether we're single or married, that we would embrace this call to godly manhood, to godly womanhood. Lord, that we would, Lord, we wouldn't resist it, that we wouldn't rebel against it, but that we would say, yes, Lord, we want to display the glory of Jesus in our lives. Lord, if there's anybody here who is not understanding what it is to be in Jesus Christ, not understanding what he did for us on the cross, I pray that you would work in their heart, bring about conviction, that they may come to know Jesus as well. Lord, we thank you for the ladies here. And I know there are so many examples of godly womanhood in this room. But Lord, I pray that you would continue to develop them and build them to be more like Jesus Christ, to display more of his glory the way they should. I thank you for them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ladies, please take a seat. We have a few announcements that we, ladies and gentlemen, we have a few announcements that we want you to hear, and then We're going to pray for you and over you, and then we be dismissed. Get ready for our 10 o'clock special thing with our ladies. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
Thank you for the message this morning. Hey, just a few announcements to mention to you before we're dismissed. If you look on the inside of your bulletins under the announcements and notices, the Auckland Mandolin Orchestra concert, that is this afternoon. So if you're going to be a part of that and you're leaving to go along with that, that's at 2 o'clock today here at the church. Transportation will be provided, and it's $10 each. Students are free for this. And then afternoon tea will be provided as well. So see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, or Tanya right here, and they'll give you all the details about that. The Overcomer Support Group that we do on Sunday evening is going to be taking a break tonight for Mother's Day, but we'll be back on schedule next week as normal. And then in our missions, we're praying for our brother, Joseph Garagapati. Remember, he is our missionary. We've supported quite a number of years in India. He's from India, but his wife, Naomi, has recently passed away. So we want to pray for them, pray for our brother and his faithfulness to the Lord that he's been so many years, and his family during the time of their grief. And then, of course, also pray for our own Pastor Ken, who leaves out this week for his graduation in the USA from master's program that he's been doing for quite a few years now, and it's paid off. He's there, and he's going back for this graduation. What day is the actual graduation on?
Next Friday in the U.S.
So be praying for him. That'll be Saturday, our day. So if you can think about it on that day, just have a time of prayer for him as well. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share with you this morning. But before we're dismissed, we'll take just a moment and recognize birthdays and anniversaries. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week, from today, Sunday through Saturday, or if we missed you last week? Come on up, Benita. Birthday, and over here, birthday. On this side as well, birthday. Birthdays. Anyone that's celebrating a wedding anniversary? Any wedding anniversaries this week? Anyone with wedding anniversaries? No wedding anniversaries? No other birthdays? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll have a special time of prayer to be dismissed. Let's all sing together.
Happy Birthday.
If I could have you all be seated for a moment, except the mothers. Would you, ladies who are mothers, just please stand where you are. I just want to say that we are proud of you, and we know that it's not an easy job. I know it's not an easy job, not because I'm a mother, but because I see the work of my mother, I see the work of my wife and what she does, and so we appreciate you, and today is about recognizing our own mothers, and I hope that you do that today as well. Let us have a word of prayer. Ladies, I just want to pray for you in particular, that God would give you wisdom, that God would bless your year, this coming year, and that you too, like Lois and like Eunice that we read in Timothy, would pass on your faith to those who may be your children, your grandchildren, or even your spiritual children as well. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the reminders that we had in your word. And these ladies who are standing before me, Lord, I thank you for them and the calling that you put on their life, in particular, to be mothers. Give them wisdom. Give them, Lord, your strength. Give them conviction. And may they be actively sharing their faith. May they be actively passing on their understanding of the word and their knowledge to the next generations that come afterwards. Lord, I pray that you would bless this year for them as they walk with you. Lord, enable them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We'll be dismissed for a little bit at 10 o'clock. The men, we want to welcome you to be here with us. We have a special brief message for you. And ladies, we'll be in the back room with Miss Jennifer and Miss Gina, a special brief message for them, and then we're going to come together for some special fellowship. So everything's special today, okay? All right, God bless you. You're dismissed. Here's your glasses.